The peace of Christ be with you. Hope College, welcome back from fall break. Y'all rested, ready to go? Yeah? We step into the second half of the first half. Hey, I know that we have some guests here today checking out Hope College, thinking about where to plant their flag. We want to welcome you here. It's wonderful for you to be here. As we step into the second half of the first half, enter back with me to the book that we love. For those of you who are visiting, we're traveling through Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. Hear these words, beginning in chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested to by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are now justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over sins previously committed. He did this to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. What then is there of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No. By the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm sitting in my study at the Keppel House yesterday afternoon. I'm noticing that the weather is shifting, just kind of like we're shifting from the first half to the second half. It's no longer kind of that late summer feel. It has that crisp fall feel now. It's no longer your chacos and shorts and a sweater. Now it's fuzzy socks and shoes and full pants and a sweater. We're starting to move now as prepare for winter. Things are shifting. I'm sitting there and I'm working on this sermon for today thinking, oh Lord, what do I have to say? The phone rings. It's my friend, T. I immediately know it's my friend, T. T. Gatewood, who's a pastor down in North Carolina in Banner Elk, calls me. And I know it's him because he says the same thing every time he calls. Mr. Trigg, what you know? He's got a little bit of a southern draw on him. Mr. Trigg, what you know? And I always respond back, I know that it's good to hear your voice. T is one of my dear friends, and by dear friend, I mean best friend. And by best friend, I mean one of those people in my life that I can talk to. I mean really talk to. I don't have to hide, obfuscate. We can get right in it. You ever have a dear friend, a best friend that you could talk to? Those are really a gift. And though we are separated by 1,500 miles, when he picks up the phone and I answer and he says, Mr. Trigg, what you know, and I say, I know it's good to hear your voice, we're right back in it. We could talk about our life and marriage and what it means to be a parent and what it means to be a pastor, things that we're struggling with. I asked T, how you doing? Which is, for us, how you really doing? Where's your soul at? And he says, I don't know. I'm in that kind of fall funk, if I'm honest with you. I get that way, you know. I'm in that fall funk, and I just feel like I should have done this, and I could have done that, and I would have done that. And there's a long sigh, and I listen. And then he said something interesting. He said, that, don't worry about it. It's nothing that a good theology can't fix. I like that. As a theologian, I like that. He's in a fall funk, a coulda, woulda, shoulda time of season. I could have done more. I could have accomplished more. I could have done this for someone else. And we can kind of fall down and wallow in all the things we haven't done. But it's nothing that a good theology can't fix, said T. I like that. T and I struggle with some of the same things. Some of what we struggle with is justifying our identity by all the things we should have done, could have done, would have done. It's nothing that a good theology can't fix. I was thinking about that and thinking about you today and wondering if some of you might be in a fall funk, wondering you get to the second half of the first half and start wondering what should you have done, what could you have done, what didn't get done. You get your midterms grades back and you coulda, woulda, shoulda. There's a little nervous laugh there. Yeah, I touched something there. Huh. I want to draw our attention to some good theology. Verse 28 of this chapter. Verse 28, Paul writes this. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. We hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. Friends, that's some good theology right there. Let's learn that together. Repeat after me. For we hold that we are justified by faith. Apart from the works prescribed by the law. That's some good theology right there. I hope you groove that deep into your soul. For we hold that we are justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Now, why is that good theology for us? Paul is identifying a fundamental tension in humanity. The tension of how we try to justify ourselves. The word justify here is important for us to get straight. When Paul is employing this word in the service of this letter, he is talking about the way in which we try to get right with God. To be justified, to be acquitted, to be put right, to be healed, to be reconciled, to be redeemed, to be declared not guilty before the living God. In the context of this book, Paul has spent 3 chapters highlighting how every one of us is impacted by sin. For there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? And now Paul wants to highlight, how do we get out of this? How do we get justified before this God? How do we get made right, made whole? And one of the ways humanity has often tried to answer that is by works. Paul is highlighting, is it by works or is it by faith? This fundamental tension. What is it that will justify us? Is it something that we do, works, or is it something that God does, faith? What's at stake with the term justification isn't some abstract theological construct. It has to do with your very identity, who you are. And who you are determines everything about what you do. How are you justified? Paul goes to labors to say that it's not by the law. He's speaking to the Jews who became followers of Jesus. To be Jewish was to be receive the oracles of God. They had the law. You could determine your path by living this great, virtuous, moral life, obedience to the law. But here's the trick. When you have the law, you don't necessarily need God anymore. You just need to know the rules and the regulations. And then you can spend all of your energy on yourself trying to live this out. Now, many of us here didn't come and were raised under the law in the way that a first century covenant person of Israel would have been. Most of us here are not Jewish. We would be considered Gentiles. But we have different kinds of laws that we try to justify ourselves with. Or at least I did. Growing up, my law was school, grades, trying to be smart. I felt like if I could be smart, well, then I'd be justified. My identity would be secure. When I was a little guy, I had this really bad lisp. Yeah. I couldn't say my S's very well, so I talk like this. And people used to say, well, they just laughed at me. Yeah. I had to go to Mr. Rogers' court. They'd like call me out of class. Is Trig there? Send him down to Mr. Rogers. You know, it was always just humiliating experiences, like third grader just having to like walk out. See ya. And I have to march down there. But I love Mr. Rogers. He'd come up in this big van and he had the speech therapy and I had to learn to say my S's like a snake. I love Mr. Rogers. But it created this really big inferior complex in my life. I thought I was stupid. And I don't know if I'll ever shake that shame of just feeling dumb. I still struggle with it to this day. And I vowed, even at a little guy, like at third grade, like I'm gonna be smart. I'm gonna get good grades. I'm gonna beat this lisp. Someday I'm gonna be a dynamic preacher. No, I didn't say that. But I knew that like if I could just get good grades, I'd be justified. My identity would be secure. That instinct got mapped onto other things in my life, like sports. If I could just win that game, if I could just make that team, if I could just distinguish myself, then I would be justified. My identity would be secure. But you know what? It never, ever was. Because there's always the next test, and there's always the next game. And for every test and for every game, my whole identity was at stake. And I was exhausted. Because it just was a way to throw me back upon myself. My law was grades and sports. For you, it might be something else. Maybe it's the mirror, what you see, your body. Did you know that body images are much controlled by the culture we live in and what's beautiful and what's not? Maybe it's virtue itself. If I live this perfect moral life, then I will be considered a good person. God will love me more. My identity will be secure. Maybe it's your feelings. If I have this certain set of feeling towards other people or towards God, then my identity is secure. Or maybe it's not having any doubts. If I could just get rid of all the doubts in my life around this faith, then I would be justified, secure. Maybe it's work for you. If I have this kind of recognition and work, then my identity is secure. I'd be justified. But whatever it is, the law, however that manifests itself in your life, the consequence is the same, isn't it? It's on you. You've got to do this. You've got to be more. You got to coulda, woulda, shoulda. Paul is saying that there is one way to be justified. One way. And it's not by anything that you do or can do for yourself. For we hold that we are justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. Justified by faith. This is the big idea of Paul's letter to the Romans. This is what he wants to highlight. This is what he needs you to know. That you are justified not by anything that you have to do. Your grade, your sports, who you date, your work, whatever. You are justified by faith. But faith in what? By faith in Jesus. We are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. Now, faith is a gift, a consequence of grace. It's given to us by the living God for all of us. We are justified not by us, but by Jesus. Faith is the assurance of a certain knowledge, the knowledge that Jesus has done everything that we could not do for ourselves. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the resurrected one. He is right now at the right hand of God interceding for our behalf. Faith is also not just a certain knowledge. It's not just a head trip. It's also a wholehearted trust. Faith is actively orienting our life towards this Jesus. It's a gift. For you, Jesus is what justifies our life. We have access to this justification by trusting our whole being, throwing our whole weight into this in Jesus. It's a gift for you. My son, who's a little guy, loves to open the gifts. Loves to open the gifts, tears them open. He gets so excited, but after about a day, he receives a gift and he forgets about it. He forgets the joy. The gift we've been received in Jesus is for you, but it's easy to lose the joy, to take it for granted. Friends, we move into the second half of the first half of the semester, and my call for us is let's not lose the joy. I love this chapel, and one of the things I love about the chapel is the windows. And what I love about the windows are these saints in these windows. And one of the things I love about the saints in the windows is that they all look like they have a gaze, that their eyes are fixed on something or someone. And I think they are. Their eyes are fixed on Jesus. Jesus, who gives them eternal assurance that they are justified once and for all. Jesus, who is their Lord. Jesus, who is their King. Jesus, who is the lover of their soul. Jesus, who makes our identity secure. I got the fall funk, said T. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But it's nothing that a good theology can't fix. Wherever you are, hear the good news. You have been justified in Jesus. Believe this good news and go forth to live in its peace. Amen? Amen. Go in peace, friends.